Peter B. Collins with News and Comment. It's Tuesday, June 26th. I want to dedicate this report to the memory of Kathy Kamen Goldmark. I was unable to file a report yesterday because I was attending a rockin' memorial service in San Francisco for Kathy, who passed away about a month ago. And she was a great connector. Connected me to a lot of great authors in her role as an escort for authors on book tours. And my thanks to all the people who attended and made it such a great celebration of her life. And before I left yesterday, I was able to talk to Carl Mayer and Adam Fergatch. Adam the activist, Carl the attorney, and the decision came out of the Supreme Court in an unsigned, very brief opinion on Monday that it was upholding its Citizens United decision and overturning Montana's Supreme Court ruling that supported Montana's 100-year ban on corporate political contributions. And I hope you have or will listen to the podcast. You don't need to be a subscriber to hear it. It's available today at peterbcollins.com. And in it, you hear Carl Mayer analyze the way the court ruled. And there's arrogance on all sides that the court would be so patronizing to those who brought this suit and just basically tell them, sit down, shut up. You're not going to overturn Citizens United. We're very happy with all the corporate cash that is flowing into political campaigns this year, and it's going to stay that way. And also the minority on the court, the four members who accepted the weight of the majority without pushing for either a denial of the case on the 11th Amendment basis that we've been talking about here, or a decision to hear the case and try to overturn Citizens United. Well, we see that the so-called liberal portion of the court is certainly cowed in the face of the arrogant and overpowering right-wing majority. And so we'll look for other ways to overturn Citizens United. And as we have mentioned here, the idea of a constitutional amendment isn't all bad, but it takes at least several years or 10 years, and in the end, it'll wind up in front of the Supreme Court again. The court, in a good decision, overturned minimum mandatory sentences that would put a juvenile in prison for life without the possibility of parole. And it's a fairly humane decision, and the people who dissented were Scalia, Roberts, Thomas, and Alito. They say that teenage suspects who are convicted of a murder should be sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. And I think that really defines the kind of heartless, legalistic positions that they take way too often. And I'm sure you've heard quite a bit about the way the court, in an opinion written by Justice Kennedy, a 5-3 majority, overturned three of the four provisions in Arizona's Show Me Your Papers law. And in effect, they put on notice that the fourth portion of it could be overturned. It simply hasn't reached a level of ripeness yet. They don't have a case where it was abused. And so at this time, if a police officer has a reasonable suspicion that someone they've detained is in the country illegally, they can check that out. But they did assert that it's the federal government that controls immigration policy and that the states shouldn't meddle. I have two comments about this. There's been a lot made of racial profiling and how in Arizona they might stop a person who appears to be Latino. The other issue is an accent, because when people speak with an accent, it sends a very powerful signal. And if you're pulled over in a traffic stop and you have to talk to the cop, even if you don't appear to be Latino by skin tone or other features, once you open your mouth, you are inviting some sort of evaluation that could cause that officer to question your citizenship. The other piece is that we had Prop 187 which was passed by voters back in about 1992 here in California. And Pete Wilson was desperate to hold on to his job as governor, and or was it his first term? Well, I'm a little fuzzy on that. At any rate, he championed this Prop 187. There are a lot of ugly television commercials, and ultimately the Supreme Court ruled that four-fifths of it was unconstitutional. So I think that these state-level efforts to regulate immigration and to benefit politically from ethnic hatred are only successful in a short term. And Prop 187 has damaged the Republican Party here in California to the point where it is barely on life support. And so if we take the long view, hopefully these things will hurt the people who have promoted it over time. In Mississippi, they've come up with a clever way to ban abortion. No, technically you can still perform an abortion in Mississippi, but they passed a law that says in order to be an abortion provider, you have to have admitting privileges at a local hospital. Why did they pass this law? Because the only abortion providers in Mississippi don't have hospital admitting privileges. And chances are they won't be able to get them. And this is just another effort to impose a right-wing, moral-based agenda on a secular nation. And it's really despicable. It should not be permitted to stand. Next door in Alabama, the controversies continue. We have covered the case of Don Siegelman's political persecution via a prosecution on this program in great detail. And recently, get this, it happened on the Fox News Channel, Karl Rove started talking about Don Siegelman in an interview with Greta Van Susteren. And Greta Van Facelift, as I call her, seemed a little surprised at some of the things that Rove said. And Andrew Craig, who spells his name K-R-E-I-G, if you want to search for him, he's with the Justice Integrity Project. He was on our program about a month, 6 weeks ago, as we talked about the judge in the Siegelman case, Mark Fuller, who is deeply corrupt, and we even know more about that now because he's in the middle of a very messy divorce. Well, Craig did a great dissection of the remarks that Karl Rove made on Fox television, and of course they were unchallenged because Greta Van Susteren doesn't know diddly about the Siegelman case, and so Rove lied, and then he lied again, and then he lied again. And I'd like to direct you to Andrew Craig's website. I'll put a link up to it in the file that accompanies this podcast so that you can read it for yourself. But it is remarkable, and I detect a guilty conscience on the part. Well, gosh, Karl Rove doesn't have a conscience, Peter. You should know better than that. A big story in Sunday's New York Times pulled back another curtain on Apple Computer. Did you know that Apple Computer's Apple stores are the highest-yielding retail locations in the country? The sales per square foot are greater than Tiffany, the high-end jeweler. Tiffany sells about $3,000 of product per square foot. At Apple, it's $5,600. Now, at Tiffany, if you slang their bling, you get paid about $15 an hour plus commission. At the Apple store, you get to hang out with other people who like Apple products, and they pay you about $12 an hour with zero commission. And this is just another case of gross exploitation. Apple is more profitable than even the oil companies these days. They're sitting on $70 billion in profits. They've started to pay dividends. And now they've responded to this by promising to boost the wages of some people in their stores. But it's exploitation, no matter how you slice it. A guy named Blankenhorn, who was one of the leaders of the battle to pass Proposition 8 here in California and then to uphold its legitimacy, which a federal judge, Vaughn Walker, ultimately declined to do, Blankenhorn wrote an op-ed over the weekend tied to many gay pride events, including the landmark one here in California, and he has changed his position on same-sex marriage. We need a few more. We need a few more hardline Christians to recognize that denying marriage rights to same-sex couples is not Christian and really only hurts people. It doesn't help straight people. It certainly doesn't help gay people. Well, a surprise over the weekend as the military rulers of Egypt announced the winner of the presidential election is Mohamed Morsi. He is the member of the Muslim Brotherhood. He was educated here in the United States. He spent some time being tortured in prisons in Egypt. And after all of the hoo-ha, he has now been named president. But he's president of a country that doesn't have a constitution, that doesn't have a parliament, and the military leaders, right before right after the polls closed, announced that they were reworking things to keep themselves in power, despite the promise that they would hand off upon the election of a president. In Paraguay, they had one of the fastest impeachments in world history as a retired Catholic bishop named Fernando Lugo was removed from the presidency just months before he was to stand for re-election. Some people call it a congressional coup, but it appears to be that they just couldn't stand it no more because he was trying to help the poor, give people land to grow crops on, and that kind of socialism cannot stand. Well, the tensions are ratcheting up as Syria downed a Turkish plane. Hard to tell if this was a false flag operation, might have been. But tensions have certainly increased, and this puts even more pressure on Syria to buckle to the West. And it'll be very interesting to see, because Turkey is rattling sabers along the Syrian border, and it appears to me they're looking for a provocation. In Bahrain, where the Arab Spring was snuffed out with the support of the United States and the addition of troops from Saudi Arabia, well, the protests are now starting to focus on the United States, and I don't know why it took them so long, because this Obama administration paid lip service to the Arab Spring and then selectively decided who they might support and who they wouldn't. And in Bahrain, it's very clear that a minority royal family controls the country and that they have been ruthless in cracking down on the protests that have surfaced in the last few years. One more bite at the Supreme Court. Oh, actually two before I wrap up today. In a ruling that was largely overlooked because the corporate media only cares about the Obamacare ruling, which is likely to be released Thursday morning, there was a setback for campaign finance last week at the court. And I give credit to Rachel Maddow, who I've been critical of lately for her narrow focus on the Mitt Romney campaign. She did a good package on Monday night's show about this court ruling. Related to a California wing of the Service Employees International Union. And what's fascinating about this is that roughly in the same breath that the court said corporate cash can stay in unlimited amounts in our political campaigns, but we're going to put restrictions on labor money. And it was Samuel Alito who wrote the decision. And without any basis, he just arbitrarily imposed that the union must now get people who are members but not active. There's sometimes a requirement where you join a union, but you can be what's called financial core, where you just take the basic services and you don't support the union, in particular its political activities. So Alito is now requiring that labor unions get these non-members, dues-paying non-members, to opt in to having their money used for political purposes. This is a huge burden, And there is no similar requirement for corporate shareholders. A corporation doesn't have to ask me if I own some stock whether they can spend my profits on political activities that I don't agree with. But if you're a labor union, that's the rule, according to Justice Alito. And finally today, in Saturday's New York Times, a person identified as a retired educator from St. Louis, Eugene D. Ruth Jr., spent thousands of dollars, I don't know the exact amount, to publish an open letter to the Supreme Court. And I give credit to Mr. Ruth, a very informed and astute individual. He said that he knew the court was off track with Bush v. Gore. And then the Citizens United decision came along. He said, in 2010, I witnessed another step in the court's inexorable slide into moral disintegration by the five justices who voted in favor of Citizens United. What they have sown, I and the people of America will reap. And he goes on. These justices, by voting to allow corporations and unnamed or unknown individuals the legal freedom to give millions of dollars to their particular special interest groups to further their own private agendas, have corrupted the democratic process, possibly forever. The secret money spent in the Republican presidential nomination process was an abomination. The immense amount of secret money spent to block the recall of the Wisconsin governor was shameful. And now, the contest for the presidency will be a travesty. It is not going to be a democratic process whereby we, the people, will have the ultimate say. It will be determined by wealthy corporations and individuals secretly funneling immense sums of money into their special interest groups and the super PACs. You really know what you're talking about here, mister. And he goes on to basically lay the groundwork for an adverse decision on the affordable health care law. And I do think the court is at least going to strike down the mandate. It's an opportunity for Barack Obama to embrace expanding Medicare to the point that we have Medicare for all. Will he take it? Only time will tell. Thanks for listening. This podcast is free, so please share it far and wide.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.